Hot Mess, sponsored by Mason Hayes and Curran, ahead of the energy curve. Find out more on mhc.ie/energylaw.
The volume of water running downstream took everyone by surprise and left a trail of destruction in its wake.
A huge deluge of rain, about 70 millimetres over the course of about 45 minutes, which is a substantial...
Following flash flooding in Clontarf yesterday morning, dozens of people were evacuated following heavy rain.
Families had to leave their houses at night because they were afraid to stay there. Like, that's a terrible situation to live in.
Rainfall has increased in Ireland by 7% in the last three decades.
As I looked across, it was rising up to nearly the letterboxes over there in like 5 minutes.
At 6:30, the river was running normal. By 8:30, it was like the floodgates opened somewhere.
In the last 20 years, every part of the country has received an increased 70 millimetres of rain a year. If that was all distributed evenly across the country and the year, it would be fine. But that's not how it happens.
Tons and tons of peat cascading down a mountain stream from bogland at the top of Shass Mountain.
When the levels goes down, obviously we will do an assessment on the bridge and then the clean-up will be a massive operation.
Every additional degree of global warming is calculated to bring Ireland 8% more rain. But it will be concentrated into a smaller number of months, winter becoming significantly wetter from 2050 on, and summer's drier. So the number of extreme precipitation events is projected to increase.
We were told in 2009 that it was once in a 150-year event, and this will be the third time in 10 years, literally, that we've seen the same situation occur.
The flow in all our rivers will increase as well. 20% by the middle of the century on. Most of it, though, concentrated into the months of January and February. The number of rivers that flood repeatedly will increase greatly as the century progresses. The EPA gives the example of the Blackwater, where it says what is now a 1 in 40 year flood will, after 2050, start to become a 1 in every 9 year event.
Somebody needs to come, stand up now and do something.
There is nowhere in the country that is really climate-proofed beyond 2050. And the list of places looking for improved flood defence protection is very long.
The full extent of the River Shannon flooding is stark and devastating.
Residents of the Haven Estate in Rosslare have today been trying to assess...
In Athlone, volunteers have been delivering donations of food.
The forum was told that projects are underway to protect 4,000 properties at risk.
It was the speed of the flooding that shocked everyone in Middleton, taking minutes for the town's main street and mill road to fall under more than a metre of water.
But there is another way to manage water in the landscape before it ever reaches our population centres. It is cheap, high impact and successful, but so far completely overlooked. I'm Philip Boucher-Hayes and this is Hot Mess. Slow Waters, a plan to take the fury out of flooding and keep our feet dry.
What was happening in this part of the farm before you arrived?
Periodically, there would be waters that would come in off the channel and out again. And when we came down, we decided to use that process, the river coming in anyway, but to use it for the benefit of the people downstream.
I made a documentary series for RTE Television recently called Rising Tides. In it, I met Associate Professor of Geography, Mary Burke, from Trinity College. Her expertise is in natural forms of flood management, and she showed me around a pilot project on a farm near Feathered in Wexford.
So what did you actually put in here?
So what we built is known as a bund, and you can, or maybe you can't see it, but it's right there. This is a structure that we put there that's built of earth and soil that was taken from the farm itself, and we compacted it. And it's
just that little raised ridge, nothing more.
Yeah, it's about a half a metre high at this moment. It has a drainage pipe down the centre, and it holds, like where we're standing would be water.
So when there is a flood, what happens now?
When there is a flood, it takes about 6 hours. And the flood water.
The idea of the Slow Waters project was that instead of making a deep channel of the river flowing through the farm, which would only move floodwaters downstream more rapidly and in greater volume, she re-engineered the landscape to retain floodwaters for 6 to 12 hours, so that anywhere downstream wouldn't be suddenly inundated.
If you were to implement scores of those across the landscape, you could really save yourself an awful lot of damage downstream.
And a lot of money, absolutely. So what we're talking about here is nature-based solutions being many, small, low cost.
Allowing water to sit on land that is meant to be grazed would, you would think, go against the grain for any farmer. So I went back to the farm to speak to the landowner, Patrick Burke, to find out how he felt about sacrificing land, even temporarily, so that others would stay dry.
It's completely counterintuitive, isn't it, for any landowner to say, yeah, I'm happy to have water sitting on my land for longer than it would naturally drain away.
Well, it is, because you're automatically thinking it's going to impact the land, whether it's tillage or grassland, and it's going to have an impact on your production. So your natural inclination is to get rid of it as quick as you can off the land.
Before Mary came and installed these features here, what happened in this field?
It used to flood on occasion, and it would come in the far corner, and it flowed along inside the ditch by the river anyway, and went out in the far corner, which was the lowest corner in the field.
Okay. So it would pool over there in that far lower corner, would it?
It used to build up there, and you would have basically a mini lake moving across the bottom of the field, and it would stay there for a number of hours. I don't know exactly how long. I never saw it starting and I never saw it finishing, but a number of hours.
But this project keeps more water on the land for longer.
Yes.
Any landowner listening to that is going to say, your man Patrick needs his head examined.
Yes, naturally, the first thought you would have, you'd be saying that's a stupid idea from a landowner's point of view. In my experience, it only lasts a number of hours, and I've seen no ill effects on the land whatsoever. The grass is bent over that day. You can see the track of where the water was flowing, and 2 days later, it's back to normal. There's no difference.
How long before you can put animals back out on it?
It depends. It's flooded in the summer sometimes, and 2 days later you could graze it, no problem at all. In the spring and the autumn, the land
when
is heavy.
When it's wet anyway.
Yes,
yeah.
The land is heavy here anyway. It's already wet before it's flooded. So you're talking 4 or 5 days at least then. But this land is heavy, and when it gets wet, it's hard to graze anyway.
It was never dry land, it was never free drain.
No, it wasn't, no. It was always, it's very heavy clay underneath, it's yellow mud, and it goes very hard, and it's impermeable basically, and it takes a lot to get the water through it.
But what you're saying is that there's really no skin taken off your nose by doing this.
No, in this particular instance here, I see no impact, negative impact on the farm at all.
Okay. Would you concede, or would you be worried that if you were to do it in another part of the farm where you have different kind of soil, that might not actually hold true?
No, I don't think it would have any bad impact here at all, as far as I can see. I don't know what it's like on the Shannon or any of those big rivers where they're flooding and it's staying flooding for longer. It's only ever lasted a number of hours here, so it doesn't have any long-term impact on the farm.
And because there is no such thing as one-size-fits-all solutions for farming anywhere ever in the history of agriculture, all you can say is that for your little patch of dirt here, it all works fine.
Yes, it works perfectly fine here. It has had no negative impact because, as I said, it was flooding anyway. The water was already coming in. It's now, with the new features there, it's held up for a few extra hours.
With those caveats in mind, though, is there enough in what you have seen here to persuade you to say to others, you should look at this?
Yes, I think definitely in a lot of situations, if you have a flooding problem and you have enough farmers that were willing to do this. And again, if it suits their system, I think it wouldn't have a negative impact on their farms, and it could have a positive impact on wherever is flooding,
whether it's the town downstream.
Yes, or even farmland that's flooding further downland.
Because the logic of this is that if all of your neighbours upstream of you were to do this, there would be less water pooling on your land for less time.
Yes, I think if you're in a farm area where it's flooding, and if you had measures taken upstream like this by other farmers, I think it would be bound to help those farmers further downstream.
What now seems completely logical for Patrick runs in entirely the opposite direction to not just hundreds of years of farming custom and practice, but also the law, the Land Drainage Act of 1845, to be specific.
Minister.
Nearly 180 years since that act was signed into law by Queen Victoria, Fianna Fáil TD Jackie Cahill reminded the Dáil in March of this year what it was about and what its idea of the role of a river was.
And you know, houses in my constituency are getting flooded and increasing numbers each year because the rivers and streams in the locality haven't been cleaned for a long number of years. A lot of very productive farmland is now being affected by the fact that streams and rivers aren't being maintained.
Jackie Cahill is the chairperson of the Oireachtas Agriculture Committee. He's a farmer himself and the former head of the ICMSA, the Dairy Farmer Representative Group. To say that he is influential and respected in farming circles is an understatement.
We can't get access to the riverbanks. So, Minister, you know, this has to stop, and this is having a huge economic impact on rural Ireland. And our rivers have to be what they're for. That's to get water away as quickly as possible when it falls on farmland and allow that farmland to be productive.
Jackie Cahill's view of how we should manage water in the landscape would be very different to Professor Mary Burke's. It is indisputable that his approach of channelising and dredging rivers has created many thousands of hectares of profitable farmland and greatly contributed to a multi-billion euro industry. But it's also partly responsible for increasing flood risk in towns and cities. I wondered how receptive he would be to Mary's idea about temporarily flooding farmland in order to save those population centres.
Every time I say the word flood, I can see you. You know, you're like, don't be flooding my land.
If the water comes over your land for any period of time during the growing season, it's going to have a severe impact on you because the silt will be left.
So I set up a meeting between the two of them on Patrick Burke's farm in Wexford. You can hear how that went after the break.
By not having bridges, so your cattle are crossing the river, they're stirring up the muck.
In fairness now, no animals should be let into a water course. It's ridiculous.
Hot Mess on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Mason Hayes and Curran, experts in renewable energy. Find out more on mhc.ie/energy law.
We will spend 1.3 billion euro on flood defences within the next 6 years. Concrete and steel channels that we will rely on to funnel torrents of water through our towns and cities during what will be increasingly frequent heavy downpours of rain. But all that money will not climate-proof us. And much more will be required in the decades ahead. What if we could stop that water arriving at the choke points in a river, our towns, all at the same time? We could also turn to nature-based solutions, soil and grass embankments all across the landscape, slowing down the passage of floodwaters. It's a proven approach, but has yet to find favour here.
And so there's a little pipe under that bund there. It's that wide. 50 mil. And now we find that this works beautifully in terms of storing the water here for a few hours.
And how do you get it away down when you want to let it down?
Let me show you, come on.
Might a conversation in a field outside Feathered County Wexford be a step towards adopting a solution that has been deployed successfully in other countries?
There's a pipe in here.
Oh, a pipe.
There's a hole, so that's it there.
What it boils down to is that Professor Mary Burke has to convince Fianna Fáil TD Jackie Cahill that farmers won't lose out if they allow their land to flood for a few hours, so that the arrival of a deluge of rainwater into a town can be staggered.
So we don't want to have too much pressure on this, but this was put in by a local digger driver, so it was local business.
And by the way, if you've tuned in hoping for fireworks, you're going to be disappointed. It was a thoughtful and a considered conversation between two people trying to understand each other's point of view.
In my view, the river has to be maintained properly, that the water gets away at a reasonable speed from the land as well. Like, as I said to you, I see in our parts of the country where the shore is flooding for weeks. That can't be allowed to happen either, because that's having a huge impact on an awful lot of arable land that's getting water getting backed up for long periods of time.
No one wants to be flooded, mm-hmm. but we can't stop flooding. It's a natural process, and we can't engineer our way out of this, okay? So what we're trying to do is lower the impact, the negative impact, on as many people as we can. And dredging the river, or cleaning the river, taking away the vegetation, keeping it deep as enough to take away these floods, isn't going to work. Not with the amount of increase in floods that we're going to get. It's going to become less and less effective. And so we have to think that we need to do other things.
But leaving the vegetation in the river and leaving all the silt in the river is going to make the situation worse. I accept the river on its own isn't going to solve flooding with the increased rainfall that we're getting. But you still have to maintain your rivers, and they aren't being maintained at the moment.
So rivers are natural systems, and they adjust to their circumstances. They need time to adjust, just like our coasts and beaches, but they will adjust. And so I think what's an issue here is that it's time. You want it done now, and you don't want to have floods every year for the next 5 years. But we are mandated to restore some of our rivers, and that means allowing them to gravel and not getting backhoes into them.
Rivers, in my lifetime anyway, say the river that goes through my farm was maintained routinely. Every third or fifth year, the council came and cleaned the river.
Unfortunately, the hazards will increase. You will have more people suffering, you know, severe consequences and even death as a result of that, because that river, that water is travelling so much faster, you'll get a lot more drownings as a result of it.
If I'm upriver and I have a land that is drained, obviously I want to get rid of my water as quickly as possible. And what I'm hearing being said is, well, we have to mind the fellow at the far side of the town that he won't get flooded. That's distinguishing, you know, who's going to have arable, farmable land and who's not. So, you know, why disadvantage the man who has wet ground that has invested hugely in making that land arable?
Every time I say the word flood, I can see you. You know, you're like, don't be flooding my land. But I always... not speaking the same language genuinely. Am I, when I say flood, I mean temporary, and I do mean temporary, less than a day, storage of water. That's what I'm talking about. Now, when you think about flood, you think about the inundation for weeks on end.
Yeah, but if the water comes over your land for any period of time during the growing season, it's going to have a severe impact on you, because the silt will be left. So if it comes out like that on your land, in the winter time, it's different. Like from say from the 1st of November to probably the 1st of March, farmers won't really object to water being on their land to the same extent. They'll put up with it. Okay. But when they're trying to farm that land and, you know, and have either grass to graze or to cut, they won't want water on that land at any period, because it will leave a residue.
Yeah, so that's the silt, right?
Yes.
And so then we have to look at, well, why is there so much silt, or as we would call it, suspended load?
Jackie and Mary met each other halfway without one entirely convincing the other. But what may have proven decisive was when Patrick, the farmer whose land was being occasionally flooded anyway, suggested, what if I was to be paid for holding on to the water for those added few hours?
And I think if farmers could get paid for taking measures like this and are having a benefit to other parts of society, I would think farmers should be looking positively at that and examining ways that they can put it in on their farms. It mightn't suit every farm, it mightn't suit every situation. The other big thing I think governments should be looking at, in my opinion, it's far cheaper than building massive big structures in towns. The amount of money it cost to put this in was very small. And if you had a number of farmers doing that on the rivers where the problems are, I think it would significantly reduce the problem downstream, whether it's on other farmers' land or in towns and villages.
And I think, Patrick, you really hit the nail on the head there. If it can be make an economic option for a farmer to do it, he's making money out of his land, and at the end of the day, that's what we all farm for.
Yes.
So if it suits a farm to have a floodplain like that and he gets paid for doing it, well, let the farmer make that decision. But it should no one be forced to let to create a floodplain. No. It should be an economic decision for an individual farmer. If you say, look, this is all with flood anyway, I'm going to allow X amount to be a floodplain, and you get paid under whatever scheme it is, whether it is acres or whatever, that you get an extra payment for doing it. But then let the farmer make that economic decision.
I think if it was part of the schemes and it was one of the choices that they could make.
But there won't be an extra payment for it.
Oh, yeah, that's above. It has to be a payment exactly for that measure. Mm. But if it's an option there that they can take, I think a lot of farmers will look at it.
One measure isn't going to solve this. I accept the floodplain can be part of the solution if the farmer sees it as an option.
Farmers and environmentalists are very often pitted against each other in conversations around climate change. But put them in a field together, listening, add in financial compensation as part of a just transition, and very often the need to adapt to what is coming and the need to go on earning a living from the land can be married successfully.
If there are farmers that view this as an economic option for their land, and that, you know, this land always flooded and is going to use it as an option under an environmental scheme and get an extra payment for it, you know, no sensible person would have an objection to that.
You come here sceptical, and are you a little bit persuaded, or were you always persuaded of schemes like this?
I'm definitely not a climate change denier. We all have to adapt our practices to meet the changing environment that we're living in. So yes, that can work. And you know, if it stops the water going down in a flood into a village nearby, yes, that makes sense.
Professor Mary Burke's Slow Waters project has completed its field trials and a proof of concept has been submitted to government. It's awaiting a decision. If you found this program interesting, there are many more available for download in previous series of Hot Mess. Why are we still flying? Should Ireland lift its ban on nuclear power? The emerging threat of wildfires. Please rate and review the programme. It helps Hot Mess to reach a wider audience. Thanks for listening.
Hot Mess, sponsored by Mason Hayes and Curran, your ESG legal experts in Ireland. Find out more on mhc.ie/ESG law.